A reading from 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 and following. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I've been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the peoples of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. A little background on this scripture, which is a reading for us and a recollection of David near the end of his reign as king. And in many ways, it seems that David is seeking to cement his legacy, the culmination of his career of being a warrior, of fighting for the independence of his people, of reigning over 30 years as king from tending sheep as a shepherd. Only through God's grace could a person reach such heights. Only through a power beyond his own could he have ever reigned over such a great people. And it seems as he's reflecting upon this legacy, this desire of his to build God's house, he has his own intentions that this is his desire. This is what he was appointed to do. And as David reflects with the prophet Nathan, and Nathan gives him his personal blessing, that is certainly what David plans to do. Until our Lord says to Nathan, "Not so fast, my friend. Go and say to David, go and speak with David and ask him this question, are you the one to build a house?" And then he says even more pointedly, "Have I asked you to build me a house?" You see, I don't know about you, but so often when I get in trouble in my life, it's when I tell God what I'm going to do instead of listening for what God may ask of me. It's such the case with David in our scripture today. He had his own vision of what was next for his legacy, what God had called him to do, instead of listening first and foremost for what God would place upon his heart. Now, for many of us today, we say, well, it just isn't as easy for us in modern day to hear God speak, to know his desires for our hearts. But if there is an openness, we certainly can petition and surrender ourselves more fully to God's desires for our lives and for our life work. Certainly, the first place that we go to listen to God is Holy Scripture. Those are examples that David personified. He was a man of the book. But not only was David a man of Scripture, he was also a man of worship. Many of the Psalms attributed to David as he offered praise to God. And to be a person of praise is also one attuned to hearing and receiving that still small voice of the Spirit. Yes, God continues to speak through his Holy Scripture, through worship. But there are other ways that God speaks to us. Another way is through others. The church that is the hands and feet of Jesus, those who we respect and admire in the faith. Sometimes it's the forebearers who've gone before us, who set a model for us, even as young people, and continue to minister to us. God speaks to us through the voice of the church, through his Holy Spirit, through his Scripture, and through worship. You know, as we think of the ways God does speak to us, it's also helpful for us to pause a moment and think of the ways that God doesn't speak to us. Because so often, I get wrapped up in hearing those voices instead of God's voices. For me, one of the first examples of a way God doesn't speak to us is through our pride. You know, so often we're driven by our accomplishments. We take pride in what we've done, and we base that as our heart's desire. And sometimes that is not God's desire for our life, for our work. We get wrapped up in impressing others. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can become consumed with trying to impress people that I don't even like. Have you ever done that? You know, God calls us to love everyone, but there are going to be those that we just don't like, quite frankly. Why would we exhaust our energy feeding our pride and the opinion of those that we don't value? No, when we search for God's voice, we should listen to the ambassadors of the faith that we respect. We should consider the source as we seek advice from the church and from the faith. And we should guard our pride in not basing our decisions on how important we are. That eases over also a challenge that we face at times, and I certainly face, is our ego. Not only should we guard our pride in our decisions, but we should guard our ego. That's our desire and our understanding that we are certainly centrally important to everything around us. We can get consumed with our self-importance instead of the importance of what God is calling us to. It seems that that was the struggle for David in the Scripture today. He had a desire to build God a house which God had not asked for. I can only imagine that David felt that this would cement his legacy, that it would last forever, and that others would look and say, look what David has done. But you notice as Nathan comes back and speaks with David that he says throughout this passage, more than 10 times in this reading that I shared with you today, God says this, I am the one, David, who brought you from the sheep. I am the one who restored my people Israel. I am the one who's going to set your son apart after you. I am the one who's going to treat him as a son, and I will be his father. God is reminding through the prophet Nathan, it's not so much what David has done for the people Israel and will do for his legacy as it is what God has done for him. May we never forget, as we seek God's call upon our life, as we strive to hear him with fresh ears, to remember as people of worship what God has done first and foremost for us. Matthew Henry said it this way, it's better to have a tent built by God than a tabernacle built by us. So true. For if we build it upon our own ego, our own pride, instead of God's call upon our life, it will surely fail and not be for the glory of the one who made us. In our New Testament reading today that Shay shared earlier, we hear this passage where Jesus has a similar conversation with his disciples. They come and they say to Jesus, look and hear what all we have done. And instead of Jesus wanting to hear about their accomplishments, he said, let's go away and rest a moment. Let's go and be renewed. Let's go and be refilled by the God who graces us with his presence. Let's find strength in what he does for us, not what we've done for him. And as the people come, and as Jesus and the disciples get into a boat and they go over to the other side, the Gennesaret area, the place where the Gentiles were, we hear this beautiful passage where it tells us that as they crossed to the other side, people came. They knew Jesus. They welcomed him. They practiced the hospitality that we spoke of at VBS yesterday. They were happy and well pleased to receive him. It tells us that he healed many people in that foreign land. This land that was not the traditional faith of the Israelites. He brought, in other words, the gospel to this people who received him. Now here's the interesting thing. When we back up in the Gospel of Mark prior to that reading that we shared today, we're told of another time when Jesus went to that land. We shared a portion of that reading a few weeks ago where Jesus went and there was this man named Legion. You remember the scripture. He was demon possessed and Jesus brought restoration to him. And in Legion's healing, the evil spirits went into the swine and they ran down into the sea. You remember the story? And the townsfolks weren't too pleased, right? Jesus had invaded their livelihood. He had cast this illness upon their very existence. So what did they say? They said, leave us. Go from here. This is the same place, friends, where Jesus is being well received now. Just weeks before, Jesus had been virtually kicked out. The lack of hospitality practice. They said, please, leave us. So what gives? What's the difference? Why the welcoming committee when Jesus returned? Friends, here it is. That as Jesus left that land just weeks before, Legion, the one who'd been possessed, he said to Jesus, Lord, let me go with you. That was Legion's idea of how to practice gratitude, but Jesus said this. He said, no. Stay here and tell everything that God has done for you. You see, Legion, the demon-possessed one, became one of the great missionaries of our faith, became one of the great practitioners of the gospel because he was willing to listen to God and build a tent instead of listening to himself and building a tabernacle. Friends, if we, in the spirit of Legion, if we, in the spirit of David in our scripture today, will listen to the prophets around us. Who are the prophets today? You see, as we've talked about recently, we are the prophets. For Joel said in chapter 2, in the ages to come, your young men will dream dreams. Your old women will see visions, for they will be the prophets among us. They will be my voice to you. So may we, as we seek to serve our God to His glory, listen for His voice and call upon us as we love, as we look for ways to be His light in our world. Amen. Let's respond in faith today by remembering what we believe. To do that, we share in the Apostles'